Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
What's going on, everybody? Thanks for joining us. It is the weekly Between the Ropes broadcast. Brian Fritz, along with Michael Wiseman from BetweenTheRopes.com. Thanks again for joining in. We appreciate everybody that joins us live here for the Google Hangout on YouTube, and also for anybody else that watches us later. A couple of reminders for everybody is we're going to talk about Raw. We're going to talk about Stone Cold Steve Austin and 2K16 and a lot of other things going on. So we'll get into all of that coming up here. But we do want to remind everybody to do a couple things, if you could. Please subscribe to us here on YouTube. That would really help us out. Plus, share our videos, like our videos, and also feel free to make comments. In fact, right now, if you're watching live, you can make comments. We've got the chat room open as well. And check us out at BetweenTheRopes.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes or on Stitcher. If you want to get the audio-only version of the podcast, you can do that. And if you subscribe to us on iTunes or on Stitcher, please rate us and review us. That helps us out tremendously. And we do want to thank everybody who is helping us out, pledging to us on Patreon. If you could, if you're not doing it yet, please do it. It goes a long way in helping us out and keeping us doing what we're doing right now here with Between the Ropes. Go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. And whether it's $1 a month or $3 a month, $5 a month, whatever you can pledge would help us out tremendously. Like I said, whatever you can do, that would be great. We understand maybe you can only do $1 a month. Maybe you could do more. That's totally up to you. But if you value what we do, if you like what we do, and I know there's a lot of other content out there, but if you like us specifically, please help us out on Patreon. We've got some brand new people that are pledging to us over the past week, and we'll get some shout outs to them coming up here. But go to patreon.com/betweentheropes if you're not already pledging to us. And if you could support us there on Patreon, helping us out, paying the bills, and allowing us to keep doing Between the Ropes and even doing more, that would be tremendous. And we're starting a new thing this week, Michael, in that everybody that is pledging to us, now we're going to be doing giveaways every week. And we're going to be doing a giveaway today.
That's right, buddy. We got it right here. The names are in the exclusive WrestleMania 31 hat. If you gave money, Brian, did you give money to us?
I did not, so I'm not
eligible. Your name's not in the hat, okay? If you gave money to us, even at $1 a month, we appreciate it, and you will be entered for the drawing during our shout-out segment of the podcast, and we have some pretty cool news about the Patreon campaign and something we're doing to give back to the fans for all your support. We'll get to that later in the show.
Yes, we will. Now, before we get into Raw, and we got a lot of other things to talk about, let's get to the important stuff, and that is, what beer are you drinking this week, Mike?
Funny you should ask. Nice, huh? All right, this week, of course, we all know I'm a huge New Belgium mark. I love New Belgium beer. I think it is the best from Colorado. I mean, you know, I used to live in Wyoming, and it was about 2 hours south of us to go visit Fort Collins and tour the factory. I do love their beer. This week, I am doing their Session IPA. It is called Slow Ride, and it is fantastic, as all beers from New Belgium are. So this is our BTR beer of the week. Cheers. If you're doing a little bit of day drinking with me, I appreciate it.
It's called Slow Ride?
Yes, which is the opposite of my drinking habit.
I was going to say, is it done by Foghat?
You know what that calls for, don't you?
Don't do it.
No, I have it queued up.
I'm going to close you out of that damn thing.
Wait. That one's not right. Did you hear that? I don't hear it.
No. I hear it. That's not right.
Okay, well, you know, it is what it is, so.
Yeah, it is what it is. That's my thing, I thought. So, I'm going to ban you from that damn thing. So.
And on that note, we'll catch you next week right here.
Oh, by the way, for everybody watching right now, if you have not done it yet and you'd still like to, we were actually working on July 4th. We did a post Beast in the East broadcast, which is up here on YouTube. And you can go back and you can watch that as Justin Kendall from the website also joined us. And we talked everything about Beast of the East and all the matches and kind of some other thoughts that we had following the show and what WWE might do, could do, different things like that. So,
did you really not hear that sound effect earlier?
I heard it. You didn't.
Oh, there we go. I got it now. Got it. Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure it was working, man. You gotta make sure sometimes, you know? You never know.
I am going to ban you from that damn thing. You're a freaking wacky morning DJ over here, dude. You watch Park and Recreation, right?
Yes.
Okay. You know that morning show that they have on there?
You know,
they're always playing sound effects and stuff. That's what you're turning this into, damn it.
That's right, man. It's on Parks and Rec. If we're good enough for Parks and Rec, then that makes us pretty legit, I think.
They're spoofing morning shows. It's not a tribute to them. They're spoofing them.
You mean to tell me that if that morning show was on the air in your area, you wouldn't listen to it?
Oh, God, no. I'd go over there and burn the building down.
God, you go use some hotty toddy. I'm greater than now radio guy. Is that what it is?
No, it's just overdone, man. It becomes goofy and wacky and ridiculous, man. Trust me, as a guy that's worked in radio forever, there is a time and a place for certain sound effects, but they can be overdone and used as a crutch very, very easily. And I know this because I've seen that. And I've been there. I've been around it in person with people trying to do it and trying to fight it.
You do this in my face. I know you do. Like, oh, I've been in radio so long and I know so much better than you, young Padawan. Like, yeah, really. Okay, Brian. No, whatever.
I'm just saying that is something that's whatever. Way overdone and it hurts your show. Every now and then you use them right. Yes, of course. Sound effects, you know, drops, different things like that. They can be used in a right way. Most of the times they're used in a wrong way and they're used way too often.
Let me tell you something, Brian. I've been here long enough now to know that if I can be on the show drinking beer and with these gamer headsets, right? If that doesn't hurt the show, nothing will, all right? We're going all the way with this one.
Yeah.
All the way, so. Baby.
Let's get into Raw.
All right. Speaking of hurting the show, let's get into Raw.
You know what? It's funny because I'm seeing a lot of people that we're talking about, yeah, you know, on Raw, I like the Brock Lesnar segment. I like the closing match between Cesaro and John Cena, but other than that, I didn't really like Raw. And I'm not saying that it was a blowaway show and there was a lot of like great stuff that was memorable or anything like that, but I thought Raw was a fine show. I mean, it wasn't great. I thought it was good. The week before was good. And there's always going to be some good. There's always going to be some bad. And you just hope that the good outweighs the bad. And that's kind of the way I felt about Raw.
I think it was a show that felt like it didn't have much of a purpose, that the entire crux of the show was that Brock Lesnar segment, and they tacked on that Cesaro-John Cena match. But otherwise, the show just kind of floated along, and it hit all the spots that we knew it was going to hit, which to me is the most disappointing thing. Not that it was terrible or that it was just a wash. It was fine, but you could have played that show out. If you had given somebody the rundown, they would have told you exactly what was going to happen in each one of those segments.
Now, Brock Lesnar destroyed the Cadillac. We had talked about that like last week. Everybody was expecting Lesnar to destroy the Cadillac. We should have realized, hey, you know, Brock's not here. So we had to wait the week for him to come back. Not only did he destroy the Cadillac, he destroyed it with a pair of axes. Okay. Of all things you could use, you'd think like a baseball bat or something. No, they gave the man axes. I think he took them from John Cena and Daniel Bryan from that episode of Total Divas that we always reference. But he went out there and took axes to this $55,000 Cadillac and just destroyed this thing. And then with his shoulder and bare hands, ripped off a door. And then he flung it like a frisbee across the stage, basically at the top of the ramp or, you know, right there in that area. And he actually hit a fan with it. So he hits one fan with it, and luckily the fan was not injured. I know that's been making the headlines today about how he hit a fan, and luckily whoever it was not injured. The person got to go backstage and everything, but there was another fan there. I think it was a different fan that actually got the car door and was waving that thing over his head like a Tuscan Raider. Like, do you think they would have let that guy, or you think they let that guy leave with the car door?
Oh, yeah, they did. He got hit. I mean, like, that door came flying at your face. You're going to play super nice with those guys and give them whatever they want so you can avoid potential lawsuits.
If that was me and I got that car door, I would have taken it home and it'd be hanging on the wall right now. I'd be bragging about that so much. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because Lesnar obviously didn't mean to do it, okay? But the fact that he did do it, the fact that he flung that thing so easily and so far without even trying, just shows what a freak he is. And it goes into the whole aura of Brock Lesnar. And that's why people want to see him. People want to see Brock do Brock things. And this is a perfect example of watching him destroy a car with axes and with his bare hands and fling car doors and suplex Joey Mercury on top of the car. And, you know, poor Jamie Noble now, I guess, is going to have to be out there with broken ribs and a broken arm from the Kimura. And one of the things I was most impressed when it comes to Lesnar was after that, how fast he was able to run to the ring, jump on the apron, hurdle the top rope, and scare Rollins away through the crowd.
Man's got cardio for days, baby. I mean, that guy, he's a beast in every manner of the word. That whole segment, oh my God, okay. So it was an awesome segment, but I was sitting there the whole time doing this because I just knew that something bad was going to happen. I had flashbacks to Bill Goldberg smashing in the window.
But Goldberg did that on purpose, and he smashed his own forearm. He wanted to get hurt because he was pissed off about the way that he was being used and stuff. I mean, Lesnar wasn't going to do that. I was a little bit worried, like, glass could go flying and hit the man or something like that. But
for a little bit of insight, kids, okay? First off, they took out some of the padding in the doors to make it easier to destroy. Okay, if you noticed, Lesnar did the kick on the door when he walked over to it to see where the empty spot was. Then he hit that with the first axe, okay? So there was a little bit of preparation. And that back door was obviously pretty loose when he pushed it off. Not
when he opened the door, it was already, like, hanging just a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was like almost on a spring. So that way when he hit it with his shoulder, that thing came right off.
But the thing that, oh God, that bump, I mean, Jamie Noble had his arm broken in the Kimura lock like everybody else that's fought Brock Lesnar in the last 2 years, right? But that bump that Joey Mercury took onto the hood of that car was terrifying. Did you see the way he hit his head? In fact, he hit his head and they didn't show it from the same angle because it looked so bad.
Well, it was pretty scary. The good thing was it, he didn't go all the way over from a standpoint that when he took the bump, he could have hit the back of his head even harder, but he took it on his shoulder. So he kind of rotated in midair.
Mercury?
Yes.
He hit his head square on the crown. That's what it looked like from what I saw. It looked like
I thought he came down on his shoulder a lot more to me.
Okay. Maybe we have to go back and rewatch.
But he didn't take like straight overhead, thank God. I mean,
no.
He went over like he kind of twisted and came down on his shoulder, but I still think he banged his head a little bit.
Ugh. Broke the window.
Yeah, he did with his feet. That's always scary, too, because I'm always worried that somebody's foot is going to go through the windshield.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, you know, I mean, the whole thing, we got to see Lesnar do Lesnar things. That's what we want to see from Brock, is Brock going on a rampage. I mean, this guy, I mean, he does things that nobody else can do. I mentioned Rollins going after Rollins in the ring. This guy's 300 pounds, and he moves like a cheetah, okay? And it's just freakish to see those things. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, they did a beatdown on Brock, and I'm not really that keen on that, but you want to see him do the unique things that he can do. And that's what we got to see this weekend. That's why people are frightened and entertained by him all at the same time.
Right. Well, and that's what made him such, okay, so he's not the best speaker in the world, but how much he brings, how much presence he brings to the ring, and how dynamic he is. He's one of the most dynamic athletes in the entire world, and I think that's what set him apart in the UFC. It's what set him apart back when he used to be a collegiate wrestler, and it's what sets him apart now, is he can rip things apart. He can be incredibly strong and incredibly fast all at the same time, and you just don't know how to stop the guy. He really is unique. That is not hyperbole. He is just a monster athlete that has so much going for him. And like you mentioned, that whole sprint down to the ring afterwards, it played out so perfectly seeing him do that. It was just, and now you have all these videos online, these GIFs that show him bolting down and Seth Rollins running out. It's great. It's great stuff.
Did you see the post that somebody created acting like they were Jamie Noble and trying to sell the Cadillac on Craigslist after the show?
No.
Somebody posted a fake Craigslist post acting like they were Jamie Noble, and here's the post. Now, mind you, they took the Twitter picture that Jamie Noble took earlier in the day with the car, like posing with it, where it's a J&J security on the back, you know, because Noble took all these different pictures and they put it on Twitter. And the Craigslist post was, looking to sell my very slightly used 2015 Cadillac CTS. Last Monday, My boss surprised me with it as a reward for all my hard work and loyalty to him. But unfortunately, one of my boss's competitors and I got into a bit of a scuffle. Now I need to sell the car to pay for my broken arm. The only damage on the car is from a result of our little fight, but the rest is like brand new. There's additional camo on the sides, and the car is cherry red. If you want more pictures, please email me, and either I or my partner, Joey M., will get back to you. These are all that I have on hand at the moment. We're both in the hospital right now and don't have 100% access to all of our road trip pictures.
Oh, man. That's good stuff. I think, the Kane stuff was terrible. Like, that was one of those low points. It's so cheesy seeing him up there. And they showed some of those pictures on WWE.com last week. And at that point, they said, one of our staff members imagined what Kane's vacation in Hawaii was like. And I was okay with that because they looked super photoshopped. But
it was just an online thing, too, at that point.
Yeah. But for the announced team to sell those like they did, oh, this is so funny, Kane playing the ukulele and Kane surfing on a surfboard. And it cheapened the whole show, the entire segment, the announced team. It cheapened everything.
Well, that was the weird thing, is that they went from like this super serious thing about how Brock was going to rain holy terror on everybody. And then they went to, hey, let's check out Kane, who's not here, and his pictures in Hawaii. And look at the Good Times road trip that WWE is copying from the guys in Between the Ropes as J&J Security go in their brand new Cadillac across the country. Hey, wackiness ensues.
They did steal that from us, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Did they have Ned the Gnome?
They did not have Ned the Gnome.
You can follow Ned the Gnome on Twitter at Ned the Gnome.
Yes, you absolutely can. He hasn't posted in a while, but we'll get on him about that. Yeah, that was it was kind of weird.
A little bummed.
I mean, they did the whole thing where, hey, they're traveling across the country, and look, they put camo, you know, at the bottom of it, you know, because Jamie Noble, of course, he's a redneck, so he's got to have camo. And they, you know, they tricked out the back of it. And different things like that. And they even put the little to put J&J on the back of the car, like instead of having the name of the car, like whatever model it was. I thought that was kind of funny, but it was just, I don't know. I just thought it was unnecessary. It wasn't the end of the world, but it was kind of like we went from something super serious where this guy is coming for revenge and you had better run to, hey, look at this wackiness. Oh, it's so funny. Hey.
It reeked of one of those terrible Vince McMahon segments that he writes from time to time that he just thinks they're the funniest things in the world, and they don't come across very well at all. They have terrible humor. That's what it felt like, was one of those poorly written Vince McMahon segments.
The only thing that would have made it more Vince McMahon-esque is if they would have had those guys crap themselves as they were running from Brock. And right. Everybody's like, oh, it's too stinky around here.
Right, some of that toilet humor that Mr. McMahon loves.
He probably loves that.
He's pumping iron, AC/DC, yeah, gonna have them crap their pants. That'll be hilarious. Swipe left, swipe left.
Oh, nah. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. So, I mean, hey, we got to see Brock back. We got to see that segment. That was cool. And they even had Triple H basically give Rollins like this little pep talk where Rollins is like, hey, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to call out Brock. And Triple H is like, yeah, you do that, man. So the Heyman promo at the beginning of the show, once again, was fantastic. And it's funny the way that he got the crowd going, because he's in Chicago. It's known for this really rowdy, smart crowd, arguably the best audience here in the United States. And, you know, they're talking about how he ended the Undertaker's streak and at WrestleMania, and everybody started booing, and Heyman's like, you're going to like this one, though. And he started talking about Cena, and everybody's like, yay, cool, you don't like Cena either. And, you know, talking about how the 11th commandment was, thou shall not screw with Brock Lesnar, or whatever it was. And it was great to see Paul, the way that he could kind of just play with the crowd the way that he did. And he set it all up that, hey, Brock was here, and he was going to get his hands on these guys, you know, one way or another. And you just knew. You knew that Carl was doomed right from the get-go.
I think Paul Heyman adds so much to this. And what I like is that they've cut back on how much they've used him. Because he's been more with Brock Lesnar, because he's been on the sidelines there for a while, he was out on Raw every week. And I almost felt like Paul Heyman was overexposed. Not that I ever think you can have too much Paul Heyman. That's not possible. But Paul Heyman has such a unique – he is an attraction unto himself – for his ability to wordsmith, to pull promos together, to sell a moment, to get a crowd hyped or booing him, or to manipulate emotions. So I'm glad that they've stuck to having him with Brock Lesnar for the last little bit, and he hasn't had to be out in front of the audience as much as he was last year, because it makes moments like the opening of last night's show feel so unique. And you're right, it was a money promo. He was a little bit heelish there for a little while, which I thought was interesting, but he came back from that pretty well too.
I think that's one of the issues they have to deal with turning Brock Lesnar babyface, and I still wonder if that's the right move, or if it should be something where you never really turned him and was just one of those things where, you know what, he could be both. It's a unique attraction. It just depends on who the champion is or whoever he's chasing at that moment, and that's why maybe they shouldn't have done the whole, hey, I'm going to shake hands and kiss and make up with the broadcast team. And you know what? You let whoever his opponent is dictate the way that the crowd is going to react. Sometimes they're going to cheer. Sometimes they're not going to cheer. But this is the path they're going. And I think it kind of pigeonholes them in the way or who he could have as opponents right now. That's the only kind of negative to it.
Yeah, I think that's the problem with having these imaginary stat sheets or lists where it's like, this is all your baby faces and this is all your heels, and we're going to draw lines connecting all of them together. And I think there is some of that mindset out there. It's the problem they have with Roman Reigns. They're so convinced Roman Reigns is in this baby face category that they don't want to move him all the way over, when in reality, he should be somewhere in between. And I think Brock Lesnar should be somewhere in between, and you would get a lot more momentum out of these guys if you weren't so black and white with the way you portray your characters and the way you do your matchups.
Well, especially for specific guys. I'm not saying that you can't do that for everybody, but I mean, there are certain guys that you definitely should not do that for. And, you know, I think Cena's probably one, but Brock Lesnar definitely is one.
Yeah, I agree. And then there's so many other guys out there too that, I don't know, they get hurt because they're pigeonholed and they can only have certain matchups with certain guys. It's why something like Cesaro versus John Cena works, because the fans are behind Cesaro, and even though he's kind of a babyface now, and even though John Cena is kind of this not really over babyface, there's still a good chemistry there. It's what's hurt Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett, they were so convinced they had to put him in this heel category, the fans were cheering him when he was out there doing his Bad News gimmick, and now they've lost all of that, and I think that's just bad booking. It's another damaged angle, as we call it.
By the way, if they really wanted to get over that Jamie Noble was checking out that car and show that he is a redneck, more than just putting redneck in words on the top of the windshield and putting the camo and everything, they should have put truck nuts on that thing.
Yeah. That
Can you imagine if they had done that? I mean, Vince McMahon is probably like, what is that?
Swipe left. What is this crap?
I hate those things when I see them too. I hate them. I just like. I mean, you probably see it. Well, I don't know. I'm in Florida. You're in North Carolina. Nah, I probably see more of that than you do.
I live in Winston. We're pretty civilized here. You go about an hour west, and you get end up in Davie County, Davidson County. Yeah, it's just getting a little bit shady out there.
Let's talk about the end of the show. So, the John Cena U.S. Open Challenge has been arguably the best segment on the show now for a couple of months. And the great matches he's been having with a variety of opponents. So WWE, kind of in response to what happened last week, and we really thought this was going to be an all-out show from a standpoint of the rating was low. This is one of the lowest ratings they've had on a non-holiday edition of Raw since 1997, so in almost 20 years. So we knew Lesnar was going to be back. I thought that both Stephanie and Triple H were going to be back. Stephanie was not there. Triple H was back, but only for a short backstage segment with Rollins. But they did put Cena in the main event. And the interesting thing was that segment's been so hot. Hey, let's take a hot segment that also involves our top guy. We'll put it at the end. The curious thing was that they put him against Cesaro again, in that they already knew these guys have chemistry. Okay, we saw a great match between them the previous week, but we're going to do it again. We're going to have an immediate rematch. We're going to set it up by having Owens come out there and act like he's going to take the match. Cesaro easily shoos him away by saying, hey, I deserve the match. If you don't get out of here, you're going to have a problem with me. And then they go on to not only have a match, they had another fantastic match, and they gave them 30 minutes, which – it's almost unheard of in this day and age when it comes to Raw, and something that I'd like to see more of. I'm not saying I have to do it every week, but I definitely would like to see at least one longer match somewhere between 25 to 30 minutes a week, if that's reasonable to do, to fill up Raw, because we talk about, oh, it drags. They're not doing, the show feels so long because it's 3 hours. You can kill two of those 12 segments or whatever it is. It's actually 13 because of the overrun. But you can get rid of two segments if you put two good wrestlers in there and allow them the time to have a good wrestling match. And I thought you had that all up, and it was pretty curious to me that they did that, especially when they're talking about rebounding from a Raw rating, and they're hoping to do that by keeping people hooked, not only to John Cena, but having a long John Cena match.
I got to get to this. One of our people in our chat room, El Bakali Anwar, said, Cena is great as a mid-card wrestler. Oh, that's cold, brother.
You know what? This is probably the best year in the ring for John Cena.
He's doing new stuff. He pulled out an electric chair last night. Since when does John Cena do the electric chair move? That's awesome.
Well, he's been pulling out a lot of different stuff, and for the most part, it's been great, and I like to see him expanding his repertoire. But we've talked about this before. The stunner must go.
God, that was bad. It was bad, and they didn't know how to respond to it, but it was a missed move.
They weren't sure if it was like, was he supposed to miss it or not? But, I mean, it was a disaster, basically. That was the one thing. If you want to nitpick on that match, that was the one thing. They covered it up the best they could in the ring and on the commentary, but that thing has got to go.
Yep. So do you want me to go let me comment on what you said a minute ago. I do think these kinds of matches are worthwhile when they tell the right story. So what you have a lot of times is they'll stick like Wade Barrett and R-Truth in there, and then for some reason those guys get 20 minutes sometimes, and we don't need that from those guys. It doesn't tell a story. But John Cena and Cesaro was building off the story from last week and had the Kevin Owens tie-in, and so I like the way they played this up, and I'm really happy it was in the main event, because we got a main event match. It elevated Cesaro, and it really tied together a lot of things to make the end of this show a lot of fun. Now, here's – you need to keep talking on the good stuff or the bad stuff, Fitzy. I'm going to give you the option. It's like a choose-your-own-adventure podcast.
No, give me both, man. Give it to me.
Okay. All that's well and good. Here's the bad. I saw my Twitter lighting up last night, hashtag match of the year. Hashtag match of the year. Cesaro versus Cena, hashtag match of the year. 2 days ago on my Twitter account, right after Beast of the East, we had Kevin Owens and Finn Balor, hashtag match of the year. Over and over and over. 2 weeks ago, at whatever the last pay-per-view we had was called, Money in the Bank or whatever, Kevin Owens versus John Cena, hashtag match of the year. 2 weeks before that, we had another one. What? Okay, listen, people.
No, you forgot about last week's edition of Raw when Cena and Cesaro had match of the year.
You're right. Hashtag match over and over and over. You know what it is to me? Hashtag another damaged angle. This is seriously getting out of hand. Not every match you watch on TV is match of the year. And I'm going to tell you, those matches you watched last week at TNA Slammiversary, they were not match of the year. If you have this willy-nilly, oh, my match of the year changes on what I just saw on TV, Total Divas match of the year. No. Okay? Get off whatever you think your opinion is, because it's wrong. I'm not saying these aren't some great matches. There are some really good matches, and there have been some across the board. But people are so quick to crown everything as the greatest of all time or as the match of the year. And it's like they have a 5-second memory span. Maybe Vince McMahon is right. Maybe people don't remember back 6 months ago to that great triple threat we had at Royal Rumble. And the difference there is that match had some teeth to it. There were some major stakes involved. No offense, Cesaro versus John Cena, a great match, but it did not have the pomp and circumstance that a match of the year should have. I said it.
By the way, if you want to talk about match of the year, you mentioned that triple threat earlier in the year at the Royal Rumble, which I think is probably, you know, when you talk about so far, legit match of the years. I would put that one. And the other one right now is a match that just happened over the weekend. And that would be Okada defeating AJ Styles for the IWGP Championship on the New Japan Dominion show.
So what is it when you look at match of the year? Because we've talked some about this between ourselves, and I even think the WrestleMania main event is in one of those, at least the top 10, maybe the top 5 matches of the year. What do you look for, Fritzy, when it's talking about what you think match of the year should be?
Well, I do think that what plays into it is the stakes do have to be high, because you want something meaningful in there and the guys live up to it. It has to be, you know, there has to be some kind of importance. There has to be a build. There has to be something that is on the line, and it has to be something that really stands out and is special.
I agree. I 100% agree. I think the story ties into it to a certain extent. I'm not saying a story makes a match, but a great match that caps off a fantastic storyline means that much more. There's a lot more emotion into it.
Right. I mean, it's one thing to have a great match, but it's another if it's part of a storyline that's been built to that and the storyline has been good and there's some meaning behind it, like you said, you know, and then you get to play it all out. Okay, this is why they're fighting. This is why they're doing whatever. And guess what? They go into this match, there's stakes on the line, and, you know, there's something important there. I mean, the matches between Cena and Cesaro have been fantastic, okay? The U.S. title has been on the line, so at least there's something. But, you know, this week's, I mean, both of them, I can't take away anything from either of them. I mean, the one that happened last week, though, I think you can make an argument about which one was better. It doesn't really matter. I mean, it's just personal choice. But remember, last week's one was also had a DQ finish. The matches between Cena and Owens have been fantastic. I mean, it's personal preference, but I get where you're coming from when you talk about everybody throwing it out there, match of the year, match of the year, match of the year.
Yeah, my problem with it is, okay, maybe this was your match of the year. Maybe last night's Cesaro versus Cena match was your match of the year so far. So be it. But the people that are going out there and saying this, there's a very impulsive reaction to this. That is, I just saw this really good match with John Cena, and without a whole lot of forethought, I'm going to go ahead and say match of the year because I want it to feel more important than maybe what it is. So give it a little bit of time and think about it. But they do it so often. It's just this reoccurring thing where every week people are saying match of the year. And they're all great matches, but match of the year means something different. What is your half year match of the year so far?
Well, those two that I mentioned, I'd have to really think about, but the triple threat at Royal Rumble and then the match that just happened for New Japan.
Okay. I think, I still think Cena versus Owens 1 is my current match of the year. I think it was just, there was so much built up to that. And the outcome was unexpected and it was surprising and it was fresh. I still think that is what I would consider match of the year. But anyway,
plus I love watching Red Shoes telling the Bullet Club to suck it.
There you go.
Nice. Kicking them out, suck it.
I think last night's match was pretty fantastic, and yes. I think Cesaro. I mean, they let these guys go into the overrun, which they don't do very often, and it was awesome to see Cesaro get that much time to work with John Cena, and for John Cena to praise him so much.
Oh well, Cena loves Cesaro. I mean, he has for a long time, and you know, we'll talk about it here too. They you know, after the show went off the air, Cena did this big long promo thanking everybody in Chicago because that's where he had his first match. But he went on to say, "This guy Cesaro is ultra talented. He can do things that most people cannot do. And I hope he keeps working this hard because he deserves a push." And got Cesaro in the ring and just put him over like $1 million. And, you know, Cena has been a huge proponent of Cesaro's for a long time and wants to see something done. So we'll see if it happens. But so let's talk about that. And then we'll go back to another point that I made just a minute ago. So coming off of this, and Cesaro did get to talk a little bit before that match as he was talking to Owens. Do you think they will do something more with Cesaro now?
No. I think the problem you have is that they've proven time and time again that being a great wrestler and delivering great matches is not everything they want. And I think while Cesaro came out and talked for a few minutes, he lacked a little bit of the intensity. He could not match what Kevin Owens was doing and what John Cena was doing. And I think it was good, but it wasn't great. And if you already have those powers that be working against you, you've got to work doubly hard. And I hope they do, but I'm not convinced they're still going to.
By the way, as we're doing the show, Cesaro just tweeted a picture of himself drinking a coffee in Milwaukee.
You're breaking news, tweet of the week.
The man loves his coffee. Let's just put it that way. I think they'll do something more than, but does that mean a main event? No. I think that I like Cesaro a lot, and I definitely think they need to give him more opportunities. I think you can still see that he needs work on the microphone. He's not horrible, but I think it's just a thing of he's been out of practice for so long that he needs repetition. He needs to, you know, get some opportunities to do it. And I know that that comes with, well, if a guy can't do it, why am I going to put him on live TV? Well, then put him on SmackDown. Put him on something else. I mean, they need to give more opportunities for Cesaro to talk, because obviously in the ring, he's got it. Because you saw he did anything and everything you could imagine in that match. Those guys did every kind of suplex. They reversed out of every kind of suplex. Cesaro did. The guy did a suplex and did a squat. He held Cena over his head and did a squat and then suplexed him. He did the outside the ring to inside the ring strongman suplex. I mean, he did anything and everything that you could imagine in this match, and it was fantastic. So in the ring is not a problem. It's just getting your character out of him a little bit more. I think they'll do something more than what they have been doing, but I don't think it's going to be as a main event guy, but that's okay.
And he's so strong. I mean, this guy can, he's dense, right? He's got this look that just makes him, he just has this power about him, and he can lift a guy like John Cena. That takes a lot of work. And Cesaro was picking him up and flailing him around like it didn't mean anything. And Cesaro probably looks about half his size. So, you know, and Cesaro's got wind for days, man. That guy, he just does not get out of breath at all.
Now, do you think, well, two things. Number one, a lot of times they finish up Raw with a match. And sometimes it goes, you know, like 15 minutes or something. Do you think that this is a better formula where not every week, but almost every week, unless there's like a big storyline, like going into a pay-per-view or something, that Raw should end with a, you know, with guys that are capable of having a really, really good match and giving them time?
I think it worked last night. I think you can run the risk of making that too formulaic. And I think there have been times in the past that closing the show with an interesting segment, be it 5 or 10 minutes long, if it tells the right story, I would rather see that because it's more of a cliffhanger. So the problem with last night's match, it did tell it because of Kevin Owens and the way he interfered and John Cena getting the upper hand there. You still have that story built in. What they do some weeks are these wonky tag matches and the faces go over and then we go home happy. But to me, I have no intrigue to watch the next week's show when that happens, so I would rather see some kind of controversy at the end of the show. It's what works so well during the Attitude Era, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know what? I want to see them have a longer match like this every week, but it's got to be against the right guys. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in the main event position. Maybe it could be in the crossover hours from 9 to 10 o'clock at night. But it's got to be guys in there that can have a good match or having a good, compelling match. And I don't want everybody kicking out of every finisher as well.
Right.
I think you can have a good long match. I mean, obviously you can. And not everybody has to hit their finisher and somebody kicks out of it.
Right.
I think they need to reestablish that. Like, hey, we're going to go 25 minutes. But when I hit my finisher, that's it.
Yeah.
Because it's a finisher. So I
think you know how they establish that even more, though, is let people hit one finisher and that put the guy away, but also have guys win matches without their finishers more often. And I don't mean the roll up. I don't mean these fluky, I was distracted wins. I mean, what you do is when Cesaro pops John Cena up and nails him in the chest and he goes for the pin, he gets a win one week. And that establishes some of these secondary moves as being the kind of moves that can put away guys. And I think that's very powerful.
I think like somebody needs to get a win off when they reverse a move into a DDT. Because I mean, DDT has been used so often and everything that there needs to become some importance to that thing. I would.
That's like your second point, isn't it? The DDT. That's like, you always go back to that. You're like, the DDT, back in my day, the DDT was.
Oh, I mean, DDT used to be a big finisher. I mean, that was a big thing. I mean, they don't do pile drivers anymore. But, I mean, a pile driver, you know, it was a finisher for some guys. But even before that, I mean, a pile driver was something that you used if you wanted to lay out an opponent for weeks.
They still do pile drivers in TNA. Eric Young did one back at Slammiversary. And it was, honestly, ban that move because I'm surprised. He pile drives somebody onto the freaking ladder. Dangerous, man.
Well, I mean, hey, Jerry Lynn used a cradle pile driver, you know, as a finisher. But, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. You have to be extremely careful with it. But at least when he used it, it was a finisher. For Eric Young, I mean, it was at a match where, I mean, you could pin a guy, but that was, I mean, it was that King of the Mountain match. So, you know, it wasn't like they were using it to get the win there. He was just using it to hurt a guy, you know, in the middle of the match. So you have to be careful about when you use it, but and I'm not saying WWE necessarily needs to bring it back, but the whole point is that there are certain moves that need to have more meaning than what they have right now, becoming rather than just being some kind of transition move to actually being something that has, you know, some real meaning when you connect with it. So, but you know what? Other match was surprising and actually got some time was King Barrett and R-Truth.
So what are your thoughts on that? Because I think it, I'll go first.
They went through a commercial break and I was shocked. I was like, what is going on here? They had a good match. I mean, I still do not understand why they haven't done more with Barrett and why they put him in this feud with R-Truth and had him lose to him a bunch of times, considering they've done nothing with R-Truth.
Right.
But at least they had a good match, and the right guy got the win.
Yeah, I think it just – it doesn't mean anything because R-Truth doesn't mean anything. Basically, he's a jobber now. Keep in mind, R-Truth was main eventing a pay-per-view 3 years ago at Capital Punishment this time of year, and many people were convinced he was going to go over with the win at that show. Mm-hmm. So R-Truth has got some talent pent up in there somewhere, but they would much rather use him in this funny man role. My problem with it is they gave this long match to these two guys, but neither one of them really need the in-ring experience. They both have a ton of in-ring experience, so you're not building anybody up by giving them that time. And it just gives Barrett a win he should be able to easily take anyway. And I guess long matches, I always say this, long matches don't mean you're going to have a great match. And the match was fine, but it doesn't.
You know, the funny thing is, though, is we say long match, and I'm the one that'd say I'm guilty of it, okay? Well, you know, it felt like a long match because it went through a commercial break. It was a 9-minute match. So it really wasn't that long of a match. Yeah. It's just that it started, they went to break, and then they came back, and they had the finale. So it really wasn't that long of a match, but, I mean, they still had a good match. I mean, there was, what, 7 matches on the show overall. And, I mean, overall, I mean, there was some pretty good stuff. I mean, plus you had Ryback and Big Show.
Oh. You know, my whole thing, though, with that Barrett versus R-Truth scenario is I was thinking about this afterwards. R-Truth is getting all these laughs off of this whole little plunger and Burger King crown thing. And it really bothers me because King of the Ring should be prestigious. And if a guy like R-Truth is hamming it up and the audience is laughing with him, then it means King of the Ring means nothing. And so what should be happening, if you are booking this correctly, R-Truth would be hamming it up and making fun of King of the Ring, like, oh, you're King Barrett, I'm King Plunger. And Barrett would literally beat the piss out of him. And he would just continue to beat him and say, I am the King of the Ring and you will suck it. And he would just, I mean, that would make that seem like a much better deal. Instead, Barrett won, and it was, well, whatever.
Well, I think some of it is the goofiness that comes with, you know, the crown and the cape and things like that, and the overall importance of it. I don't know. Maybe it's something where, you know, if you win the King of the Ring tournament, you automatically get a title shot, or there's something else to where, okay, I won it, I bragged about it, but it's not something that lingers on for months and months and months. It needs to be something that's capitalized on a little bit more immediately rather than just saying, hey, I won King of the Ring. And it's like, whoop-de-frickin'-do, because look what happened since then.
Right, exactly. Somebody's going to make fun of you with a plunger if you win King of the Ring next year.
Right. So let's rip through some of the other things that we liked and or stood out from the show. One of the weirdest things I've seen in a while happen on this show in that the primetime players joined the commentary team during the match between the New Day and the Lucha Dragons. Titus O'Neil not only decided to run wild on the broadcast, but at one point got mad when JBL was not talking about the match and really got into it with him to where he was putting down JBL. JBL fired back by trying to make fun of Titus being a Florida Gator, thinking it was a joke. And Titus said, hey, man, I got 2 degrees from Florida, including a master's. And then he started ripping off the collegiate credentials of everybody involved in the match and took over Michael Cole's job of calling the match, ripping JBL for not calling the match, and then made fun of JBL, who got quiet and said, oh, look at that. For the first time, you got nothing to say. You got nothing to say. And, I mean, Titus O'Neil went wild to the point where one time, I think it was Kalisto that got a tag, and he called it a hot tag in the middle of the match, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at that. Awesome. Kid. You're making a hot tag over there, and I'm doing your job. Look at that. I'm calling this. I'm calling that. I mean, he was calling every move, and it was just the Titus O'Neil show out there. To me, that just speaks for two things. Number one, he either doesn't realize or does not care how heavily produced those broadcasters are when they're out there and being told what to say. And two, he wants it or he hates it if he's watching back a match of his own or seeing somebody else and they're not talking about what's going on in the ring. And he wanted to point that out by, hey, I'm on commentary, so this is the way that I like it done.
Right. He can get away with it, too, because he's a good guy. And making fun of JBL gives him, you know, gives him that leverage. But there's always a little bit of jockeying for position out there when these guys come to ringside. And so we don't know what Titus O'Neil's endgame is. Maybe he was just having fun and wanting to get over. But he's proving a couple of things all at the same time. He's proving he can talk. He's out there literally in front of everybody saying, look at me, I can speak about the product intelligently, I can talk on the microphone, and it's going to be delivered back. You know, Booker T did the same thing back in the day in his backstage areas. But also, it's showing that people really want some good announcing for the product. And people believe, I mean, the wrestlers believe in it. The fans were all talking about what happened on Saturday and how great the announcing was. Even though people don't like Byron Saxton, they love the commentary from Saturday. So I think there was a purpose behind it. Also, Titus O'Neil is a fun-loving guy, so it kind of works with his persona.
You know what the biggest things that work against Saxton, I think, are? One, he's trying to fit in on that Raw crew. He's trying to find his spot. And he's like, sure. And he knows I've got to give away to Cole and JBL, the veterans, a little bit more. But at the same time, when he does talk, it's like everything is a cliche. And we don't get to find his real personality. And that, I mean, it's a tough position. And maybe that's one of the reasons why they really shouldn't have three people out there, quite honestly. But I think Byron has a lot of talent. It's just hard to see it when you're in that position. And he's like, what should I say? I don't want to cut anybody else off, but I want to fit in here. And, you know, he's picking his spots and he's not really even talking that much. And then when he does, I just feel like it's, you know, he's looking up in the wrestling book 101 and saying, well, okay, what's the phrase I should say here?
Right. Right. You know, yeah. So,
These two men are working hard. Look at that. Wow. You know, it's like, what a maneuver, you know.
That man's got a family, by God.
What would Vince McMahon say here? Unbelievable. You know,
that's true. And it does feel like, I think you bring up a good point. It feels like Vince McMahonisms. If you go back and watch Vince McMahon calling matches from the 90s, the late 80s, early 90s, that's what that announce team is doing. And I think we talk about Vince McMahon being out of touch. I think that's kind of thrown around. We don't know Vince McMahon personally. We don't know who he surrounds himself with. But one of the ways he is out of touch is with the way these matches and these shows are called, because it sounds like Vince McMahon, not like the authentic voice of the announce team. And that's the problem I have. Let these guys loosen up a little bit and do what they do. That's why you hired them.
By the way, I use those two terms about Vince McMahon because, one, that was in a video game, those two terms. And two, that's really what happened with Vince, because the only moves that he would know, like, or go out of his way to say would be finishers, and everything else would be what a maneuver or unbelievable. So
there you go. By the way, comic, it's like the old Batman show. Yeah. What a maneuver, and it pops up on the screen, right?
That's, by the way, somebody in the chat room had just said, hey, what happened to Booker T on Raw? Easy, he's doing Tough Enough, so he's not on Raw. And when
way to sound like a jackass there. Oh, yeah. He's doing Tough Enough.
He is. Way to go. Once Tough Enough is over, he'll be back. And then,
hey, you idiot. Hey, Barry Doby. Thanks for asking a dumb question. You know he's on Tough Enough, right? I'm Brian Fritz.
Excuse you.
There you go. Sorry. I know you're finding a replacement for me over at prowrestling.net. So.
A lot quicker than you think now. Was there anything else that really stood out to you for the show? Like I said, I mean, Dean Ambrose, he's Bo Dallas. But, I mean, that's fine. You went out there, you got a little Dean, and you know, he got the win. The Rusev angle. So I guess Rusev pulled a ruse over everybody and his foot is healed, beat the hell out of Dolph Ziggler with his crutch, then took off his boot and he kicked Dolph. So the bad chemistry that we're seeing between the guys and the gals might finally get a reprieve here a little bit, because we'll actually get to see Ziggler and Rusev have a match in the near future.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a segment. I mean, it was a segment. There you go. That's my thoughts on it.
It was a segment. So Anything else that stood out?
Nah, I think it was a fine, you know, again, it's one of those shows that just, they've got to find a way to draw more into these shows. And while Brock Lesnar is a draw, and I think great matches end up paying off for people who do tune in, there was nothing about last night's show that said, you don't know what's going to happen, tune in, because that's the only way to find out. And I think part of that is, go back to Battleground and the way they booked this upcoming pay-per-view. We've known for 3 weeks now what the matches are, so we know that titles aren't going to change hands, that guys aren't going to fight. Let's have a blow-off match on the show between some of these guys. If Kevin Owens had legitimately challenged John Cena for the U.S. title last night, this would be an entirely different conversation. Not that that match wasn't great already, but storyline-wise, it makes there be more intrigue and unpredictability to what's happening in the product.
It's funny, you know, I mentioned, you know, the New Japan show from over the weekend, and we talked about this on the broadcast that we did on Saturday, Fine Beast in the East, you know, when it comes to the New Japan guys, and NXT TakeOver is going to be the day before SummerSlam. It's going to be in Brooklyn. So they're going to do a big NXT show up there. Well, it goes head-to-head with the Ring of Honor show in that area called Field of Honor. And it's going to be interesting to see how people choose, if they go to NXT or they go to Ring of Honor, because there's a lot of people in that area that already get plenty of opportunities to see Ring of Honor, but don't get an opportunity to see NXT in person. But Ring of Honor is loading up that card. Some of the things that they've already announced, they're going to do Roderick Strong against Okada. They're going to do a dream tag team match where they're going to put Jay Lethal and Nakamura against Red Dragon. And we'll see what else they decide to put on that show. But, I mean, they're loading it up. And, you know, they have to try to make sure that we want to make this a special event, that you choose us over NXT. NXT, I guess they're going to set up the building for 5,000 people, but they'll open it up even more depending on how the ticket sales go. So, I mean, they could do 10,000 people. I think the Barclays Center, where they're having it, I think you could fit like 15,000 in there for wrestling. It's at least more than 10,000. And I don't know if they're going to get to that point, but it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how many tickets they could sell and what this little wrestling war for that night is going to be like between those two groups and how everybody's going to be loading up the shows. And I don't even know what NXT is going to do or what they even can do at this point, just depending on, there's a couple guys obviously that are banged up. Maybe you get Samoa Joe against Finn Balor that night. Maybe you get the rematch, and you pointed this out before. Maybe you get a Kevin Owens, Finn Balor rematch. So it's an interesting thing to see how this is building up, and Ring of Honor using the stars of New Japan to help load up their cards, and we'll see what happens. But, I mean, it's too bad that the shows aren't staggered, that you can't go to both.
Yeah, they tried this already, though. I mean, Ring of Honor tried the same thing back in San Jose right before WrestleMania, and while that show had its drawers, people were coming back to go catch the NXT show, and NXT did change the scheduling of their shows. People could technically make the first show and most of the second show, but, and you remember that weird intermission we had to sit through where it was just, you know.
Well, remember, the NXT show was only supposed to go from 10 at night till midnight, and then they had an intermission like at 11:30, and I guess Vince McMahon was backstage and said, we'll pay the extra cost for keeping the building open past midnight, and we'll pay for the union or whatever it was. And they said, we're going to do a full 3-hour show. We're going to go till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. So I guess my point with all of this is, I think it's great Ring of Honor wants to load their shows up against NXT. And I think Ring of Honor has its hardcore fans out there, and it's a great product, and you're going to get people in those seats in the building. But I think trying to compete with NXT is not your best game plan, because you're drawing from the same audience, and at the end of the day, NXT is going to trump only because it has the WWE association. That night, we went to the show before Mania. There was not a NXT championship on the line. It was not about that. The guys were injured. The main level guys were injured. It was still a fantastic show because people know it so well and because there's such a large audience there. So I don't know. I think it's a bad strategy.
Oh, by the way, speaking of NXT, I wanted to bring up one other point from Raw. So they're setting this up, and it sure seemed like, and some people thought even last night this might have happened, that we're going to get some call-ups from the women. And obviously it didn't happen on Raw, but it looks like either at or right before SummerSlam, we're getting call-ups. And it sure looks like Charlotte is not just penciled in, but put it down in pen that she's getting called up. And I think somebody else is, and I believe that somebody else is going to be Sasha Banks.
Yeah, I think so too.
And there's also been some talk that maybe we know all this give divas a chance and we need to change the way that we use the women and different things like that when it comes to the main roster. And even the Bellas, I guess, after WrestleMania were like begging Vince McMahon, like, can you please bring up some of these women from NXT so we have some fresh opponents and we can focus on in-ring action? When we talk about a possible change of direction when it comes to the way that they utilize the women, that could be coming after SummerSlam. I mean, that's been the rumor out there. Now, it's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to plan on it. It's another to actually implement it and see it happening. But that talk is out there that maybe this could be coming, or they'll at least try it, hopefully for more than just a week or two, and be like, well, let's throw that idea away. But that's something that could be coming after SummerSlam, and we could see a couple of the women from NXT get called up.
Can't happen soon enough. I mean,
that's as long as they use the right way. As long as they use the right way.
Sure. Otherwise, you're looking at a Paige situation where she's over, but what does it mean? Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I know that Blake just wrote in the chat room, like, too bad Becky is injured. Becky's going to be back in about a week and a half. So she's just on the sideline. She has an injured hip, but she was only going to be sidelined for about 3 weeks. So she should be back within the next week or so. So She'll be at that show in Brooklyn. I guarantee that.
No, you know what this feels like? This was like a good time to give some thanks back to some people.
Ooh,
what do you think?
Ooh, I think we could do that.
Before we break in the news, before we get all busy with the question and answers, let's, people deserve our respect.
So there's a lot of different people, and we thank every one of you for pledging to us and supporting us on Patreon. We mentioned it before. Go to patreon.com/between the ropes. Support us there. If you value what we do, if you like what we do here on Between the Ropes, and you want to make sure that we keep doing it, please show your support by pledging to us on Patreon, whether it's $1 a month or $5 a month or more. And we appreciate everybody that has done that. And if you could do it as well, if you haven't done it yet, and if you can do that, that'll be fantastic. If you can't support us on Patreon, just subscribe to us here on YouTube and by checking out BetweenTheRopes.com. You can subscribe to us on iTunes or on Stitcher. But if you can support us on Patreon, that would be fantastic. And we do have some new supporters this week that have pledged to us. And we got to give some shout-outs to all these different people. So Guy Gunter is now pledging to us $5 a month. Huge props to Guy. Jamie File, $10, $10 pledge. Fantastic. Tyler Vilhauer is pledging $1. We appreciate it. A lot of respect for you, Tyler. Hey, like I said, we'll take anything and everything that you can do. We understand. I mean, even $1 helps us out tremendously. I mean, if everybody that subscribes to us on YouTube gave us $1, we'd be doing fantastically well.
That's $12 a year. If you're bad at math like me, because you drink and stuff, $1 a month is $12 a year, and it does help us out a ton.
How about Matthew Rogers? $15 pledge per month. That's huge. Huge. So thank you, Matt. We appreciate it. And by the way, we do have it. You know, we have different incentives, you know, on our Patreon page. And one of them, once you get to the $15 level, monthly Google Hangout exclusive. So, and we're going to decide later on this week exactly when we're going to do that. But for $15 a month, we will do at least one exclusive Google Hangout. Plus,
we have one. Go ahead.
But I mean, for $5 or more a month, we also follow you on everything social media, as well. And we'll support everybody that way too, by whether it's on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We just opened up a Between the Ropes Instagram account. So $5 a month, we'll follow you on everything there.
If you are doing the $15 tier, we'll get back to it. We're going to schedule a time for all you BTR fans to hang out with us. We want you to bring yourselves. It is, unfortunately, bring your own beer. Okay? But we'll bring the Wrestle Talk, and it's going to be exclusive. We have a few people signed up for that right now.
What are you drinking now? Because you went for the bottle.
Yeah, let's not get into that. Let's just say it's a little bit cheaper than mine.
Wait a second. You went from a little slow ride to Natty Light?
No. Listen, hold up. Natty Light. No, I do not.
Do you have a Schlitz?
Water.
You have a Schlitz?
No. We got the beer of the Rockies, Coors Light.
Oh, you know. Wow. I went Coors Light. So
I'm an equal opportunity beer vendor.
There you go. A couple other shout outs. Francis, $5 a month. All right, Francis, that's what I'm talking about, man. Big respect right there, buddy. Michael Caprio, $10 a month. That's huge. Huge, I'm telling you. So appreciate that. Peter Barnes is pledging $5 a month. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate it. Grant is pledging $1 a month. That's awesome. And Aiden Reichart pledging $5 a month. So big time respect to all of you guys. We appreciate it. And if you're not supporting us yet on Patreon, please do. Please check it out. Go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. Two other things about that. One is, you had mentioned, Michael, that we're going to be doing something for everybody that's now supporting us.
Yeah, man. Listen, we got two things. We're going to keep this pretty short because we know your time is precious and we want to get back to the wrestling talk. But because we've been so thankful to you guys for giving us, and we've broken $100 a month and it's very helpful to us. The first tier was set up that if we reached it, which was a few hundred dollars more per month, we would give you all of our podcasts that are YouTube exclusive in an audio format. Many of you have asked for it already. We do this one already like that, but our post-game shows a lot of times are YouTube exclusive. We said, you know, if you give us a certain amount per month, we'll go ahead and make all those audio podcasts as well. Well, you know what? We said, let's give back. That tier has been met in our eyes. We're going to mark it out. You guys are going to get all of our post-game shows, all of our exclusive YouTube hangouts, Dusty Rhodes, breaking news, anything like that, stuff we've done in the past. Those things moving forward will now be audio podcasts as well as our way of saying thanks to all the fans that have supported us.
And as we announced last week here, for everybody that is supporting us, that's supporting us on Patreon, we're going to be doing giveaways for you every week. And we're going to do a giveaway right now.
You ready?
What are we giving away, Michael? What are we giving away?
Copy of WWE 2K15 for the PC. And if you don't own a PC, we'll get you a mobile copy.
Right? Yes, absolutely.
Something like that. Okay. Drawing from the 22 names we have in the hat over our last few weeks. Drawing. Okay. See what we got here.
What intrigue.
Drum roll. Right. Holy crap. This was not planned. Okay. So.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Is it who I think?
It might be. Can you see that right there?
Francis.
I swear to whatever deity you believe in, that was not planned. Somehow or another, Francis won our copy of WWE 2K15 this week. There you go.
So we'll be getting in touch with you, Francis. We'll hook you up with that code. And then we've got another copy to give away next week.
All right. You want to wait till next week to do it?
Do you want to? We can give it away right now.
Let's. You know what? Let's do it. I'm feeling generous, and I feel like Francis
gets a lot of shout-outs. You're hooking because you got Francis.
He always gets all the shout-outs from us anyway. So I want to give back to somebody else in here. So we're going to draw again. Okay. And this will be our second copy. We'll still have a giveaway for next week. We'll figure out what it is between now and then. Something cool. We got tons of swag, man. You got a ton of swag. I got a ton of swag. We'll give back something.
Sure.
But this is pretty cool. All right. Our second WWE 2K15 giveaway on Steam goes to Matt Rogers.
All right, Matt. So Matt,
there you go. Matt. There you go.
Matt is a brand new supporter. I believe Matt just started supporting us this week on Patreon. Yes, in fact, he did. It was just last week. So thanks, Matt, and we'll be getting in touch with you and get you a code for your WWE 2K15 PC code so you can enjoy the game. So appreciate that. And like we said, we'll have more. We'll have a giveaway next week. No idea what we're giving away yet, but you can only win if you are pledging to us on Patreon at patreon.com/betweentheropes.
You know what we might do? I'm feeling pretty generous too. We'll see what happens. I got a copy of WWE 2K15 sitting on my shelf for Xbox One. I'm saying let's talk about it, but that might be a possible giveaway for here in the next few weeks.
Look at that, man. We got different, got some swag already. Mike's throwing it around. Maybe it's the Coors Light speaking.
Maybe.
Talking about the 2K, so Stone Cold Steve Austin is on the cover for 2K16, which comes out in October. And let me ask you this first, okay? Do you have a problem with that? Because supposedly there's been some talk that maybe, and I don't know if this is confirmed or maybe people jumping to conclusions, some people going, why isn't this a current WWE superstar? Why are they going with somebody that's not even on the roster and hasn't been for a long time?
Do I have a problem with that? That they use an old superstar?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I don't, because, I mean, I don't think – I wouldn't look into it too far by saying it's a diss to anybody on the roster right now. I look at it as, hey, man, what's going to help sell video games? And this is, you know, one of the biggest stars of all time. And when was the last time you saw Stone Cold on the cover of a video game? It's been a long time. They made a special game mode with him in there. This is one of the perks of being one of the greats of all time. And I totally understand it. I mean, they that video that they did for 2K was super cool with Stone Cold, like out in the desert, and he's digging up the old championship belt. I don't have a problem with it. I mean, that's what happens when you're a megastar.
I feel like, if I remember correctly, the last game to have Stone Cold on the cover was like WWF Warzone for the PlayStation and N64. I mean, it's been a while since he's been featured on there. Before he retired, before he won his, you know, whatever, fifth championship. I don't have an issue with it. I think since 2K Games took the franchise over from THQ, they have shown a propensity to want to put bigger names on the cover. I mean, you think... what was it? 2 years ago, we had The Rock on the cover, and they had Daniel Bryan as an alternate. Last year, we had John Cena, who was a big name, and then you had the Hulk Hogan special version. But I think this year makes a lot of sense because they're tying it back into this whole Austin 316 Attitude Era mode. So I understand why they do it. It's but with any sport, you're going to see this, right? Madden, they take a vote every year to see who the fan favorite is, the biggest athlete, going to be on that front cover. Tiger Woods, for the longest time, for many, many years in a row, was on the cover of PGA. So I think it's fine. I think it's a good time for it. And it works into that nostalgia factor at just the right time for this video game series.
Well, you got to remember, too, that while this is like, you know, it is the premier wrestling game that's out there, at the same time, it's not like a Madden. Where Madden, like, Madden is just going to sell no matter what. It's an established brand. Madden just sells. There is something to people that might not buy a wrestling game, but if they see a certain person on the cover, maybe that will intrigue them more. And that's why they put these huge names on the cover. That's why they'll put a Stone Cold on there, because of the nostalgia factor and the way that it stands out. So, I mean, and it's nothing against some of the current guys that are out there, but I'm a huge Seth Rollins fan. Maybe they could have put Seth on the cover, but at the same time, what do you think is going to sell more just at first glance? Seth Rollins or Stone Cold? I mean,
well, and fans are going to, fans who are watching the product right now, they're going to go pick up the game. I mean, we watch it. I'm going to go buy the game because it's super awesome.
It's not for us. It's for those people that are like on the fence about whether or not they would get a wrestling game.
Yep. The casual wrestling fan.
Right. Speaking of, oh, and by the way, so one other thing about Austin. So we did an interview with the AP promote the game. And of course it was brought up like, hey, you coming back to face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania next year? And here's what he said. There's no reason to go back in the ring and prove anything. I had to ride off into the sunset a little bit earlier than I'd liked. But that final match I had at WrestleMania with The Rock was my last match. And I don't think he's just pulling everybody's strings. I mean, remember, after he did that podcast with Heyman, he did on his own podcast, he swears, I didn't know that question was coming. I just reacted. Maybe I shouldn't have reacted that way. I'm not having the match. And there's also been some talk that WWE is not interested in that match. Vince McMahon does not want to do it. And one of the reasons is just because of the age of Stone Cold. And he has other plans when it comes to Brock. So I think Austin is going to be at WrestleMania next year. I don't think he's going to be in the ring having a match at WrestleMania.
Bring it to work.
Really bums me out. And you think it's a work.
I think it's a work, man. I think we could still be seeing Austin. This is the perfect way to build the hype. Having all these news stories. No, I'm not going back to the ring, right? No, it's not going to happen. And then what happens? Brock Lesnar does something later this year, the beginning of next year, that makes Stone Cold so angry, he's got to come back and fight him. You know, I think we are looking at one of the best works in the modern era of professional wrestling. There you go. There was other Austin. You know, you don't think so?
No, I mean, it's funny because I've always been on the bandwagon of, I don't want to see Austin come back. What does he have to prove? But then when you really start thinking about it, and you heard that promo of Austin against Lesnar, and if they did, you know, the street fight, or, you know, you do something like that, you know, there was something that really resonated, and I kind of got my hopes up, and I shouldn't have. And it just sounded like, you know what? That's a sellable match. That is a sellable match. I mean, the biggest problem, though, is can Austin take a suplex? He's going to have to take a suplex. He's going to have to take a couple. And if he can't do that because of the neck injury and the age and everything like that, then you can't do the match. And I don't know if you would feel comfortable with that or not, and if you'd be cleared for that. But, you know, everything being on the up and up, and you say, yes, he can do it. You know, obviously they do the street fights. They can use the bells and whistles, and they can cut some of those corners. And maybe, you know, he wouldn't have to take as many suplexes as we get in the Brock Lesnar match these days. You just look at the pure matchup and the story they can tell with it. To me, that is a major, major money match and a huge attraction for WrestleMania.
I still think it could happen. And I still think if they were going to do it, this is the old school way to do it. No, I'm not coming back out of retirement. I'm not going to fight him. No, my time is past. I'm done. And Austin is the kind of person that would sell it to everybody. He would sell to the AP. He would sell to whatever news outlet because he's going to be kayfabe about everything, right? I mean, this is, I just think it could be the situation where if it's going to happen, it still could happen.
Yeah. Speaking of games, are you watching Xavier Woods? He's actually doing it under Austin Creed, his YouTube gamer channel, Up, Up, Down, Down.
Of course, man. As the resident gaming fanatic here between the ropes. Heck yeah.
I saw the one that he just did. He was doing Street Fighter with Cesaro, I believe, which was fantastic.
I got to go back and watch. I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah, I was watching that the other day.
Gotta love Xavier Woods for doing all these diverse things and reaching out to fans in unique ways. It's what Zack Ryder tried to do. And Xavier Woods is great. He's smart. That guy is smart.
You know what the funny thing is that we talk about, you know, old versus new and what wrestlers did outside the ring. We always talk about, you love hearing these wild stories, but then you know how dangerous it was. And it was just a different day and age of guys, you know, drinking crazy amounts and doing drugs and stuff like that. And I'm not saying that they're, you know, some drinking under moderation is perfectly fine. You want guys being alcoholics and being raging, you know, drinkers out there or anything like that. And I'm not going to act like there are no drugs being used in wrestling. But at the same time, the culture, I think, has changed. And this is a little bit, you know, when you hear these guys talking about playing games and playing games with other guys, I think it just shows a little bit of a different day and age where guys aren't saying, hey, you know what, after the show, I got to go out. I got to go to the bar. I got to get in a fight. I got to get blitzed. I got to whatever. I think the mentality has changed. The guys are cooler with, I just want to go back to my hotel room and chill out. And I brought my game system with me on the road and I'll plug it in. I'll invite a couple guys and we'll come over and we'll just hang out in the room. Or, you know, I'll hang out on my computer and I'll answer questions on social media and I'll check out what's going on my Twitter and Instagram and different things like that.
Yeah, I think life on the road too means something different these days. So back in the day, you were driving from town to town and you kind of had the situation where, I don't know, things didn't feel quite as connected. Now with social media and the internet and video games being everywhere, I think it creates a different dynamic. And these guys treat it like, I don't need to, it's not quite as, you know, the territories are gone. And so you don't treat this the same way. You treat it more like an 8-to-5, I think. And these guys go out there and they have their lives and they take their lives with them. And I think that's awesome. There was one other awesome story I wanted to get to. I don't know if you saw it. Roddy Piper?
Yeah, I get to the Roddy Piper story because it's another one of these crazy Piper stories.
It's a doozy, man. That's what we call it. So I'm going to pull up the exact quotes here on my other screen.
It's a doozy.
Basically, here's the gist of what happened. A while back, a few months ago, Roddy Piper, I think it was right after WrestleMania and Stone Cold supposedly no-showed WrestleMania, right? Roddy Piper did this segment on his show where he had Will Sasso from Mad TV. He's been on Raw a couple of times. Come on to his show and pretend to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. And Piper interviewed Austin. So it's pretty funny. Sasso does a pretty good Austin impression. It's you know, he mentions Hershey the Wonder Dog and the RV and all that stuff. It's pretty funny. But part of what he touched on was Austin walking out. Austin walking out on Brock Lesnar back in the Attitude Era. Austin walking out on WrestleMania this year. So they do this whole segment, right? And it's supposed to be pretty funny. It was pulled within 6 hours of podcast one. Piper re-uploaded it. And he said that, of course, Piper is not with podcast one anymore. He said that Austin got him fired.
Right.
He said because of that segment.
Because Austin, he didn't. I mean, when you talk about re-uploading it, it was off of podcast one and he re-uploaded it on SoundCloud.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So the controversy has been that Piper accused Austin of getting him fired over that segment. Austin fought back today and said, that is not true. He said, hey man, I'm 50. This is Austin speaking. I ain't got no time for no soap opera. I don't want no BS in my life. I've created enough and been in enough way back in the day to not do it anymore. Austin claims that he called the president of Podcast One and that the president of Podcast One told Austin that Piper actually asked for his resignation himself and he didn't want to do it. And the president told Piper that you don't have to do the podcast if you don't want to, and he left. Austin finished up by saying, to Roddy, you're one of the all-time greats in the professional wrestling business. I cheered for you as a babyface. I booed for you as a heel and respected everything that you did. Your Hall of Fame career speaks for what it is. To that, no hard feelings. I don't want to back and forth on this. It's a closed book. That's my side of the story. I will not respond to anything else. What I've spoken is the bottom line, and what I've spoken is the truth. I had nothing to do with Roddy Piper leaving Podcast One. End of story. Your thoughts?
Piper is a crazy, crazy man. And I don't even know where he came up with that idea or if somebody told him that. But here's a thought. Don't just jump to conclusions and maybe contact Steve and say, hey, man, is there a problem?
God, I love that impression that Sasso did, though. It was hilarious. Go back and listen to it if you haven't. It's pretty good stuff.
You know, it's funny because maybe I'm in the minority here, and I understand taking a joke. But how far can a joke go to where you don't get upset? And I honestly wouldn't have been mad if, or wouldn't have blamed Austin if he was mad about it. But Austin, he could take a good joke and everything like that. I mean, he's probably like, what the hell is this guy doing, man? I mean, he wants to take the high road at this stage of his career. He doesn't want to have arguments with anybody and just like, hey, you know, it is what it is. You know, I'm too old to get in these dumb arguments. I'm not coming back to wrestling anyway and things like that. But he's probably shaking his head going, what the hell is that all about? Where did that come from?
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of situation where Austin, I think, responded in a very classy way. He said, I had nothing to do with this. I don't want to talk about it anymore. It's controversy for controversy's sake. And I respect you, Piper. Let's leave it at that. So.
And then when they shake hands and stunner.
Is that our new grudge match for WrestleMania 32, Austin versus Piper? Oh, book it.
Well, yeah, Piper can't take bumps with his hips.
Austin can't take bumps with his back. So it's perfect.
No, it's his neck. Well, his neck. I think he can take better bumps than Piper. All I'd have to do to get Piper is pull out a Klondike bar, right?
That's right. Digging into the archives for that one, huh, buddy?
Hey, what would you do for a Klondike bar there, buddy? Yeah. Oh, by the way, I don't think Jared from Subway is going to be appearing on Raw anytime soon.
Oh. did you ever see the episode of South Park where he wanted to give everybody AIDS?
No.
Okay. So everybody thought it was what you thought, right? He said he wanted to go around and give all the kids AIDS, and turns out he had, like, AIDS, like assistance. Like he wanted to give everybody his aides, his assistants to help out, right? Puts a different spin on it in context of him being arrested for possible child. His house was searched. I don't think he was officially arrested last time.
Right. Still. By the way, there was also an episode of South Park where somebody guessed the wrong answer to what they thought a Wheel of Fortune puzzle was, okay? And I'm going to leave it at that. And it was quite the circumstance.
People who annoy you. Naggers. They nag. Yeah.
That's not what he guessed. That is not what he guessed, okay? By the way, I don't know who did it because I saw somebody in the chat room a little while ago say that I look like a blueberry.
Veronica?
I am not an Oompa Loompa. The thing is, the lighting in my house sucks. It is dark outside or almost because there's a storm that's going through right now, and it is dark out. The light that I have over my head with a fan is not straight over me. It's the wrong kind of lights. And I do have another light in front of me, but it's one that you put on a camera more than something that you would use for this. So my lighting sucks, and that's why we need you to support us on Patreon so I can get better lighting. I'm working on it, but I apologize. Between that and the shirt that I'm wearing, which is actually purple, mix it all together and you get this look.
No, there you go. The official Brian Fritz look of the podcast.
There you go. So
what else we got?
Before we wrap up, any questions that we have?
Oh, yeah. Are we to that segment already?
Well, let's get to that. Let's about 10 minutes here, man.
Hit my music, buddy.
I don't have any music.
All right. Let's do it. Between the Ropes official music.
There is no official music. It's just you asking the questions.
Okay. Who sponsored our questions this week?
Brought to you by Coors Light.
I don't think they... All right.
Taste Coors the Light.
There you go. Okay. Let's start off. Nick Doucette writes in, my question for the Q&A, Brian, is there any way to listen to some of the old school Between the Ropes radio shows from back in the day? And I think, let me go back and look, but that was one of our Patreon fighters, wasn't it? God, we sound desperate today, don't we?
It was something that we talked about doing.
Yep. We had archive shows up there.
$750 a month.
Tell you what.
No,
we're not going to. No.
$750.
Okay. All right.
God, catch you off at the pass.
I'll give it away, man. I'm giving everything away.
No, we're not giving everything away. You get a car. We're not doing
that. Is to say, if you want classic Between the Ropes shows, support us on Patreon. It is one of the early tiers for our total numbers here.
Listen to how bad that Fritz sounded back when he was on the radio and didn't know what the hell he was talking about and first started out.
Before you were hotty-totty like you are today.
And huh? Listen to all the different wild things they said, like, man, this TNA might have a chance.
Did you use that voice, your crazy radio man voice?
I hope not, but who knows.
Fritz in the Morning brings to you exclusive TNA coverage.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Or as one of my friends would call the show, instead of calling it Between the Ropes, he called it Between the Dopes. It was like, hey, Between the Dopes is coming live tonight. All right, let's talk about what's going on in the wrestling business.
But it took him a while to come up with that one, huh?
Yes.
Andreas Pavardinis writes in, hi, so is TNA even looking for another TV channel where they could broadcast their show, or is this situation where they finally give up and see no way out?
No way out. It's an old Starship song, right? I would say that they're probably looking. Well, I think, first of all, they are trying to convince Destination America to not drop them. I'm sure they were looking, but they're keeping it extremely quiet. But I don't know who else would be interested at this point, because you're talking about two different networks dropping them within a year's time. We've seen all the different problems when it comes to trying to find a channel to take wrestling. And the immense problem that they have in getting advertisers for wrestling programming. And this is the problem when you are not WWE. And that's why WWE is leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else. And that is the brand when it comes to this business. That we can sit here as wrestling fans and say we know all about TNA and Ring of Honor and Lucha Underground and New Japan Pro Wrestling and all of these different places. But when it comes to the general public, and you know, we're talking about different networks, the only thing they really know is WWE. And that's the only thing they really care about. And that's the only thing that's making money on a scale that would really attract them. So this is why TNA is really going to be behind the eight ball when that time comes, that they're most likely going to lose Destination America.
I mean, they're pretty convinced they're going to be around for a little bit longer because they're talking about shows next year. Kurt Angle's hyping up January stuff in the UK. I still think that's where TNA's future is overseas, but I don't know if they're convinced of that. So I think if they lose this television deal, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Global Force Wrestling and where that partnership takes them and takes both companies, because that could be a way out for them. We could see some kind of weird merger where TNA and Global Force join hands. I mean, how many superstars or wrestlers are going to jump over to Global Force Wrestling and jump ship, essentially?
Well, there's a couple of things with that. Number one, they have to keep the deal with Destination America, and the network executives have to be cool with that.
Sure.
And they have to prove that, hey, we can make some money off this. I almost believe at this point that TNA, when they do those taping or they do the shows over in the UK, that those are going to be tapings just to fulfill international programming when it comes to Explosion. And that's what we could see bare bones until they get another network, or just to try to survive, as they would do things like that. I mean, it would be like just, you know, we send over a dozen guys and we do tapings for as much as we can. And that's all it is, just trying to stay alive.
If they lose the TV deal, And I mean, they'll remain hopeful that they're going to get another TV deal. We know TNA, we know that's going to happen, but do you think that they will stick around for the long term past January, February?
I mean, they could for a few months, but I mean, those international deals are not paying big money. Sure. Remember, I mean, there's a couple things that have gone on this past week. So Executive Vice President Andy Barton, who has been there for a long, long time, is gone for the company. So he left the company. In the meantime, they have hired somebody else. I don't know if it was for the same role. I think it was. I can't remember the person's name off the top of my head, but it's somebody that has background from MTV and VH1 and different things like that. So my guess would be that Billy Corgan probably had connections with this guy and convinced him to come over for this role. What does it mean? I don't know, because if they don't, you know, I know that they're talking about expanding their brand throughout the world. That right there almost tells me like they're worried about the U.S. market and right. They have to focus elsewhere. But the thing is, if you don't have that U.S. market, I mean, this is a U.S. product. I mean, you're talking about, you know, you're going to pay freight for all these guys living in the States to go over to Europe, go wherever to do tapings, however often you're going to do them. And you're going to make those deals over there worthwhile to keep everything going. I mean, it's just at that point, all you're doing is fulfilling dates. It's not even like a real show.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think TNA's on the ropes. No pun intended. They're on one of those six sides of ropes. I don't know which side it is, but I don't know. I think TV deal's gone. I think TNA is out of business early 2016. All right, next question. Eric Jacinto from the number one super fan. Sorry, Eric, you did not win WWE 2K15, however. I won't be able to watch live. I'll be at work, but I thought I'd leave a question comment. What should they do next with Cesaro? He says, how about a tag team with Cody Rhodes or an IC title push? Thanks.
I could see the IC title push. I could see him actually getting the U.S. title from Cena by hook or by crook, and him kind of carrying on the, you know, having the great matches on Raw every week and defending it with a challenge or something. I could see those things happening, but that's about as far as I see. And I don't think you're going to put him in another tag team without Tyson, especially not right now. And by the way, I don't know if he had a dark match last night, but I believe Cody was back or was scheduled to be back and be back as Stardust.
Okay. Well, that's expected, I guess.
I want them to give up Stardust gimmick. I'd like.
Yeah, it's run its course. So what's the deal? Weren't they going to do a Goldust Cody Rhodes blow off match at WrestleMania? Or is Goldust just done now?
Well, Goldust is still recovering from an injury because remember he banged up his knee.
Or
his shoulder or something. But remember they had that weird match on a pay-per-view before WrestleMania to where It was, I don't know, it was this really strange wrestling match. And off that, Vince McMahon just said, nope, they're not going to have good matches. So screw it.
Yeah. It was that match where Goldust was like, not, his heart wasn't in it, so he couldn't fight back. And it seemed like it was going to lead to a moment where Goldust finally embraced it and fought Cody Rhodes. And Cody Rhodes turned heel as a bad guy. I don't know. It's a wasted opportunity. Money's on the table there, Vince. Go back and get it.
Yeah, they did something weird there. And they just said, that's it. We're not going to do it.
Francis writes in. Mm-hmm. Francis Reyes, number one fan who did win WWE 2K15 this week. What do you think? When Vince thought when he saw the streamers in the Owens versus Baylor match.
We joked around about this a little bit on our Beast or post Beast in the East broadcast, but
what is this crap? What is this?
Why are they littering my ring?
What is this Japanese match? Promotion doing with those banners, those pieces of paper? This isn't wrestling. This is not real sports entertainment. Bah.
You think Vince watched that broadcast?
No. Working out, man.
Gotta get my pump on. Swipe left. Swipe down.
Yeah. It's... I don't think Vince really cared one way or the other. He probably expected it. It's just whether or not he really knew that was going to happen, I don't know. Probably did. I give Vince a little bit more credit than a lot of us do, but it's fun to joke
about. Of course, Francis asked us 15 questions. I'm going to narrow it down to 2 or 3. I like these questions, which is why I'm giving them a pass. How long do you think the reign of EC3 as champ will last?
For a long time, because they don't have that many people under contract.
Yep, there you go. And he's got a look that they love because he looks like a WWE guy. And of course, finally, Francis writes in to ask, what will you be watching, TNA or Total Divas tomorrow? Francis,
dear Lord, money.
We always watch Total Divas, man.
I know. Total Divas. I never have and never will.
I go back in the network and watch it every night, man. It's my favorite show. There's this one episode I like where John Cena and Daniel Bryan, you know, they do stuff. So I want you to know, though, here in America, we get a break. We got Tough Enough and Total Divas back to back. WWE's calling it the Reality Tuesday or Super Tuesday or something.
Sure. And by the way, I am watching Tough Enough, but one of the reasons why is because I'm actually speaking with whoever gets booted off the show the day after Tough Enough airs. So every Wednesday, I'm talking with that week's loser, basically. So I kind of have to watch the show.
Let's see what else we got here as we come down the home stretch. Jim Mills, I assume no relationship to Judge. Joe Mills, do you think Paige's mom wrestler, Saraya Knight, might be brought in to help Paige feud with the Bella Twins?
No.
Well, that was pretty definitive. Okay. Brian doesn't think so. I think it's a possibility WWE will do anything to dig up old family wounds. And finally,
how old is she?
I don't know.
She's 43.
It could happen. If Stone Cold,
you know, I just
next year.
There's something about, I'm not trying to be I'm not trying to be ageist, I guess, but I just have this feeling with the way that divas already look and then bringing in a 43-year-old, no matter how in shape she might be or whatever, that it would be down on us. Plus, they've never referenced Paige's family into a storyline, and I don't think they're going to.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, they for the longest time held off on CM Punk's dad's alcohol issues and his straight edge. They just
But this is why we're talking about them bringing up, they keep talking about reinforcements, and Paige just hinted at that. It's not her family. It's others from NXT.
Right. All right. Last question. Kyle McVicar writes in, greetings from your favorite Scottish friend. Oh, that's nice. I brought my own beer. That's right, you did, buddy. Hopefully it's better than a Coors Light. Michael, anyway, what are your thoughts and predictions for the next pay-per-view now that Owens has lost the NXT title? And I think he's meaning for Battleground. What does this Kevin Owens win the U.S. title? What do we think is going to happen there?
I think he does. And you know what? Quite honestly, it's probably nitpicking, but I was a little disappointed in how they used him on Raw. I mean, I know the whole thing of backing down Cesaro and then he came back at the end of the match. I kind of thought that he should have kicked Cesaro in the butt or something, or done something to him and kicked him out of the ring and then done the pop-up powerbomb to Cena.
Yeah, So I wasn't a fan of it at first. And I was like, why? Even the announcer said, why did Kevin Owens walk away from this? He should be out there wanting to beat the crap out of everybody, yada, yada. But it made more sense to me by the end of the night when Kevin Owens rushed back down and John Cena got the upper hand. Because what we've seen for so long is Kevin Owens getting the upper hand on John Cena. And while he lost, he still came back out and had the upper hand on John Cena. So I kind of like that. They legitimately made John Cena feel like an underdog. Like, he was battered and bruised. He had a scratch under his eye. He looked exhausted. And then he still had to give, he still tried to protect himself from Kevin Owens. So I think it worked in context of the storyline, because now we have some buy-in with John Cena.
But wouldn't that be more of a reason, I guess, that Cena would get beaten up by Owens there, because he just went through this grueling match? And the other thing is, too, for Owens, he's coming off that loss at Beast in the East. I mean, there's nothing wrong with losing to Finn Balor, but to the Raw audience, a lot of them don't know who Balor is. And they're pointing out hey, Owens just came off a loss. But yet, he's going to be a guy that's going to try to go toe-to-toe and take the U.S. title from Cena. If you really want to lay into the logic of it that way, sometimes we can do that too far.
Sometimes.
But it would make sense that Owens would get the upper hand on a tired, beaten-down Cena here and be pissed and should get the win or get the upper hand here, because he's just coming off this loss, and that would help him get back his heat.
I don't know. I kind of liked it, the fact that Kevin Owens came back from this grueling title match overseas and he's kind of downtrodden, because we've seen Kevin Owens be so strong that showing a little bit of vulnerability makes this match more interesting, I think. And I think Kevin Owens will get back some of that heat next week. To me, it's fine. To you, it's not. We all know I'm right and you're wrong. So let's just agree to disagree.
Right. Okay. Sure. Right.
And on that note,
And on that note, we're going to wrap it up. But we do appreciate everybody for joining us here, like you do every Tuesday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern for the live broadcast. We always appreciate everybody for asking all of your questions. We always have the chat room going. A couple other plugs that we want to remind everybody, please support us on Patreon. I know we joke around a little bit about it. If you go to patreon.com/betweentheropes, support us there for as little as $1 a month. It really helps us help pay the bills and keep doing what we do. We want to do more even. We want to help keep the lights on at Between the Ropes. And if you value what we do, you like the product that we have, please support us on Patreon. Like I said, for as little as $1 a month, patreon.com/betweentheropes. And again, thank you for everybody that's already pledging to us there. And remember, we're now doing a giveaway each and every week for all the different Patreon supporters, trying to go above and beyond for everybody that is contributing to us there. Please subscribe to us here on YouTube as well and share our videos, like the videos, and feel free to make comments. Check out betweentheropes.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes or on Stitcher and rate us or review us there as well. And remember, all of our videos now, we always do it with this one, but all of our videos going forward, we're going to put in audio only form. So if you can't join us live here, and if you don't want to watch or can't watch here when it comes to the videos, you can always listen to it by subscribing to our audio only podcast. And you can check us out on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/betweentheropes. And also, you can follow us on Twitter at Between the Ropes. And if you're not following us on Twitter already, please do. That would help us out a lot as well. So we'll be back next Tuesday with another broadcast. We'll find out what beer Michael's going to be drinking. And I'm sure we're going to announce some plans for the upcoming post-Battleground broadcast as well, because Battleground is less than 2 weeks away now. So thanks, of course, to Michael Wiseman. I am Brian Fritz, and we appreciate you for joining us right here for Between the Ropes. Talk to you soon.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.